Tira Vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabihari. Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivarnari. Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivarnari. Jashoda Nandana Pradajana Ranjana. Jashoda Nandana Pradajana Ranjana. Jamuna Tira Vanachari. Jamuna Tira Vanachari. Jaya Rukmini Dwarkadish, Rukmini Dwarkadish, Rukmini Dwarkadish, Rukmini Dwarkadish. Jaya Jagana, Jaya Jagana, Jaya Jagana Deva, Jaya Subhadra. Jaya Goranitai, 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 Jaya Goranitai. Jaya Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Prabhupada. Jaya Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Srila Prabhupada. Gaur Premanandi Haribo, Jai Om Vishnupad, Paramahamsa Padaparaja, Acharya Asatara Sri Shriman. It's called BBT Founder Acharya Divine Grace, AC Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj Prabhupada Ki Jai. Nitya Lila Prabhupada Om Vishnupad Divine Grace, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada Ki Jai. Ananta Koti Vaisarabhinda Ki Jai. Nam Acharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai. Prem Sakaho Shikrishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Srivastari Gaur Bhaktivedanta Ki Jai. Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopana Shyamakunda Radha Kunda Gira Govardhan Ki Jai. Shri Brajamumu Namadam Ki Jai. Shri Nabadit Mai Puridam Ki Jai. Shri Lachal Jagannath Puridam Ki Jai. Gangamayi Ki Jai. Jamunamayi Ki Jai. Bhakti Devi Ki Jai. Shrimati Tulsi Maharani Ki Jai. Their most beautiful lordship, Shri Shukmini Dwarkadish Ki Jai. Shri Shukmini Dwarkanath Ki Jai. Shri Shri Jagannath Baladev Subhadra Ki Jai. Shri Shri Gornitai Ki Jai. Samabeta Bhaktabrinda Ki Jai. Going back to home, back to Godhead, Ki Jai. ISKCON, Los Angeles, Yatra, Ki Jai. Brihad Mridanga Transcendental Book Distribution, Ki Jai. International Food for Life Transcendental Prasadam Distribution, Ki Jai. Shri Harinam Sankirtan, Ki Jai. Nitai Gaur Premanandi, Hari Hari Bom. All glories to the Assembly of Devotees. All glories to the Assembly of Devotees. All glories to the Assembly of Devotees. All glories to Shri Shri Guru and Gauranga. Glory to Srila Prabhupada. So, welcome to New Dwarka Dham on the day after Thanksgiving. Normally, Prabhupada recommended that you take fresh, grow fresh, and take fresh. In other words, have fresh prasadam every day. But the day after Thanksgiving is one day when I hope there are some leftovers, especially the pumpkin pie. Narayanam namaskritya. Naram chaiva narottamam. Devim sarasvatim vyasam. Tato jayam udhiriyat. Before reciting the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is our very means of conquest, let us offer respectful obeisances unto the personality of God and Lord Narayan, unto Narayan Rishi, the supermost human being, unto Mother Saraswati, the goddess of learning, unto Srila Vyasadeva, the author, and to Srila Prabhupada, who is a translator, a commentator, and our spiritual master. Narsta Prayeshu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki. By regularly attending the Srimad Bhagavatam class and by rendering service unto the pure devotee, all that is troublesome to the heart is almost completely destroyed, and loving devotional service unto the personality of Godhead, whose worship with transcendental songs becomes established as an irrevocable fact. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we're continuing our reading from the third canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. This is chapter 1. And we are doing text number 9. Yada cha partha prahitaha sabhaya jagadguru yani jagada krishnaha na tani pungsam amritayanani rajoru mene kshata punya leshaha yada chaparta prahitak sabhayam jagad guru yani jagada krishnaha natani pungsam amritayanani rajo rume nekshata punya leshaha yada chaparta prahitak sabhayam jagad guru yani jagada krishnaha natani pungsam amritayanani rajo rume nekshata punya leshaha yada cha partha prahitak sabhayam jagad guru yani jagada krishnaha natani pungsam amritayanani rajoru mene kshata punya leshaha. Please chant.
Thank you.
Vaishnavis. Jagadguru Yani Jagada Krishna Tani Pungsa Mamitaya Nani Rajoro Mene Kshata. Yada chaparta prahitak sabhayam jagad guru yani jagada krishna natani pungsam amitayanani rajoro mene kshatapunyalesha. Yada chaparta prahitak sabhayam jagadguru yani jagada krishna natani pungsam amritayanani rajoru mene shatapunya. Okay, synonyms. Yada, when. Cha, also, Partha Prahitaha, being advised by Arjuna, Sabhayam, in the assembly, Jagat Guru, who, teacher of the world, Yani, those, Jagada, went, Krishnaha, Lord Krishna, Na, never. Tani, such words, pungsam, of all men of sense, amrita ayanani, as good as nectar, raja, the king, Dhritarashtra or Duryodhana, uru, very important, mene, did consider, kshata, dwindling, punyaleshaha, fragment of pious acts. Srila Prabhupada's translation for this verse. Lord Krishna was sent by Arjuna into the assembly as the spiritual master of the whole world, and although his words were heard by some, like Bhishma, as pure nectar, it was not so for the others who were completely bereft of the last farthing of past pious works. The king, Dhritarashtra, or Duryodhana, did not take the words of Lord Krishna very seriously. Please repeat. Lord Krishna was sent by Arjuna into the assembly as the spiritual master of the whole world. And although his words were heard by some, like Bhishma, as pure nectar, it was not so for the others who were completely bereft of the last farthing of past pious works. The king, Dhritarashtra or Duryodhana, did not take the words of Lord Krishna very seriously. So being Americans, all of you here, you probably don't know what a farthing is, but in America right now, the smallest fragment of currency is a penny. But previously, under the British, pounds, shillings, and pence, that penny was divided further into a halfpenny, half a penny, and a farthing, which is a quarter of a penny. Okay, so in other words, they had very little pious credit left, just fragment. Srila Prabhupada's purport. Lord Krishna, who is the spiritual master of the entire universe, accepted the duty of a messenger and, deputed by Arjuna, went to the assembly of King Dhritarashtra on a peace mission. Krishna is everyone's Lord. Yet, because he was the transcendental friend of Arjuna, he gladly accepted the role of messenger, exactly like an ordinary friend. That is the beauty of the Lord's behavior with his pure devotees. He reached the assembly and spoke about peace, and the message was relished by Bhishma and other great leaders because it was spoken by the Lord himself. But due to the exhaustion of the pious results of their past deeds, Duryodhana or his father Dhritarashtra did not take the message very seriously. That is the way of persons who have no credit of pious deeds. By past pious deeds, one may become the king of a country, but because the results of the pious acts of Duryodhana and company were dwindling, it became evident from their actions that they were sure to lose the kingdom to the Pandavas. The message of Godhead is always like nectar to the devotees, but it is just the opposite to the non-devotees. Sugar candy is always sweet to a healthy man, but it tastes very bitter to persons suffering from jaundice. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschacya Deshtarine Om Agyana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manomishtang Sapitang Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadate Sopadantikam Vandeyaham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagatatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Tang Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitamsha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dhina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namosate Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vishwanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kopaturubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanang Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Adaita Gadadhara Shri Vasudeva Gaur Bhaktavinoda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. So the first point here is that Krishna was deputed by Arjuna to go to the assembly. So that seems, well, Krishna's devotee is deputing him, sending him to on some mission. Well, we have to remember that at this point, this is before the battle of Kurukshetra took place. So Krishna and Arjuna are still displaying just a sakiras, just friendship. Arjuna is not thinking of Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He's contemporary, cousin brother. So in order to head off this war that was about to happen, he's asking his cousin brother, Krishna, who he respects very much, but they're on a friendly basis. You know, they lie down together, they eat together, they sleep together, you know. So he wasn't thinking of Krishna as God at this point. He's just asking his cousin brother, please go and talk to these rascals, the Kauravas, try to head off this war. You know, if we can avoid the bloodshed, why not? So like that. So Krishna, in that mood, went to speak to the Kauravas. Of course, he's God, so he's going to give the best advice. But one of the hallmarks of being a conditioned soul is that conditioned souls don't want advice from God. They want from God, but not advice. They want, give me a car, give me a house, give me a color TV, Om Jai Jagadishari, like that. They want all kinds of material benefits. People are praying every day to God like anything. Diehard gamblers, those who play the Powerball, every day they're praying, let it be my turn, please. The jackpot is $650 million. Do you know how much good I could do for myself, of course, and for my family and, you know, society in general. But please, it's my turn, Lord. I've been playing for 20 years and I haven't even won a farthing. Like that, people are praying fervently. You know, it's not just like, oh, okay, if you like, give me. No, they pray like anything. And Krishna is every day receiving so many conflicting prayers. One person is considering another person to be their enemy. My Lord, why do you just strike this guy down? Lightning bolt, heart attack, anything. I hate him. Get rid of him. Why would you keep such a rascal around? And the other guy's praying just the same thing. What's Krishna supposed to do? You see? Everybody's praying, fervently. He's my enemy. I want him killed. And if the enemy's not killed, then they lose faith. Or if you don't win the Powerball, they lose faith. Prabhupada pointed out, in relation to the Second World War. On both sides of the channel, in England and in Germany, people were praying, let my brother, my father, my husband come back from the war. And when the husband, brother, father didn't come back, then they lose faith. What kind of God are you? How could you allow the enemy to kill my father, brother? You know, they lose faith. No more church. So devotees don't approach Krishna in that mood. We should only approach Krishna in the mood that has been established by Lord Chaitanya coming down in our line. Nadanam, najanam, nasundarim, kavitam va jagadisha kame. Mama janmani, janmanishwe, bhavatad bhakti, haitaki toye. This is the mood of prayer of the devotee. I don't want dana. I don't want wealth. Doesn't mean that if Krishna gives you the wealth, you go to the corner and give it to some drunk. No. The devotees know what to do with wealth. Prabhupada used to say, some of these so-called yogis, gurus in India, they say, when you try to give them a donation, oh, I don't touch money. Prabhupada said, we're not so foolish. Give me. Because we know what to do with money. Construct temples, print books, hold big festivals, distribute prasadam. That's what money is meant for. That's what Lakshmi is meant for. Lakshmi is the eternal consort of Lord Vishnu and must be employed in the service. Otherwise, chanchala, she doesn't stick around. If Lakshmi comes into your possession somewhere or other by hard work or by inheritance or whatever, and you don't employ her in the service of her master, pretty soon she's going to disappear. We've seen it happen. I remember some of you, you're young enough, you've heard about the dot-com bust in the beginning of the internet where people were making money like anything. Open some silly internet site and you can make money like anything. And so many companies sprang up and people invested their hard-earned money because they were sure it was going to double, triple, quadruple overnight. So one devotee, I'm not going to name any names, but this one devotee, very brilliant devotee, he's departed now, one of my godbrothers. He saw what was coming. He was pressured in that way. He saw, hey, this is going to be big. You know, we discussed. So he formed a company and he made a lot of money. He went from being just an ordinary devotee singing Bhagavatam class to having millions of dollars. But didn't necessarily employ a lot of that money directly in Krishna service. Started speculating on, let's form another company and do this and do that. And then the bust came, the dot-com bust. So he went from here to here, back down to here. And of course, the wife left him because he was so foolish to lose all that money. And so this is what happens. If you don't employ Lakshmi in the service of her master, Lord Krishna, Vishnu, she's going to leave. Chanchala, she doesn't stick around. She only stays at the lotus feet of the Lord, massaging the Lord's lotus feet. That's her natural position. So we see, generally, devotees may not be so wealthy. Some are, some aren't. This is going on since time immemorial. It's not that there's a contract that if you chant Hare Krishna so many times, then your bank account will double, triple. No, Krishna doesn't give any such guarantee. Just the opposite. He says, Yasyaham anugrahami harishye yat tandaram shanai yasyaranam tajantyasya swajano dukidukitam. He says, if somebody is approaching me with a devotional mood, but he's so foolish that he still wants, or she still wants, material enjoyment, then yasyaham anu harishye tandaram shanai, daily, moment by moment, I take away the wealth of such a rascal. And then what happens? Tasya aranam tajantyasya swajano dukha dukitam. When he's put in that position, or she's put in that position of adanam, not having any money, then swajano dukha, your own people leave you. Just like the case of my godbrother with a wife left. When you have nothing, you're a nobody, then nobody wants to be around you. Yeah, you're a loser. Who wants to be around a loser? You had something, you rascal, and you gave it away, you threw it away, speculating on the stock market or whatever, or bad business decisions. You're a fool. I don't want to be around you. So then in that position, Krishna says, when that foolish person who wants me but also wants material comfort and wealth, then that person turns to me completely. Oh my Lord, please give me shelter. So this is generally what happens in the material world. We're chasing after wealth. We're chasing after prestige. And we pray to God even to give us that wealth and prestige. But when it comes, generally speaking, we throw it away. Another case, true case, another God brother. This is from the early days, 73, 74. We joined around the same time in 73. So his parents died and left him, this is about 1974, $600,000. Now, $600,000 from 73 is like $6 million today. So once he got his hand on the money, there went the neck beads, there went the bead bag, Haribo. Out the door. Never saw him again for a long, long time. Then about 10 years later, I was at a program in Florida, and this person approached me and said, Haribo Prabhu, do you remember me? And I'm looking at him. No, really. Oh, yeah, from Henry Street, 73. So he told his story. The $600,000 pulled him out the door. He had a great old time, and he got married to some non-devotee girl. But again, eventually, Krishna took it. Step by step, Krishna took the money away. And then there went the wife and the two children. He's a loser. And so he came crawling back to Krishna. So this is what happens. So the point is, be very careful. Now, how is it related to today's verse? It's related because the Kauravas were in that position. By past pious activities, they accumulated a kingdom. They inherited the kingdom, or actually they weren't supposed to inherit. The Pandavas were supposed to inherit. By trickery, as we heard yesterday, they stole the kingdom, gambling match. But here it is now. Krishna himself comes and says, all right, in spite of your trickery and all that, let's settle this peacefully. No. As it's stated in the verse and purport. Not taking Krishna seriously. Disrespecting him. Krishna's giving good advice. So we have to be careful of that also. Krishna's giving good advice in the Bhagavad Gita primarily and other scriptures coming down in the disciplic succession. So we know it's genuine. Krishna's giving good advice. Do we take it? Or are we still foolishly begging Krishna for wealth and prestige and not taking what Krishna's actually giving? Which is himself. Krishna can be purchased by pure devotional service. That's what we should want. Nadanam. No wealth. Najanam. No followers. Nasundarim. No beautiful wife or handsome husband. No. Kavitamba Jagadish. I don't even want to be known as a great scholar. Because some people say, yeah, I don't want any wealth, I don't want any wife followers, but the whole world should know that I'm so brilliant. We just came back from AAR, American Academy of Religion, conference in San Antonio. Brigapati and I were there. He told you a little bit about it. So these attendees, the professors and the students, they're all looking for this kavita. They want to be known as big, big Bible scholars or Islamic studies or whatever they're studying. See, the Quran has been around, the Bible has been around, you know. Why does it require somebody to come up with somebody? They have come up with all these new interpretations and new presentations. Publisher right across from us, biblical, that they deal mostly with biblical books. So one big new book they had was Creation Revisited. You see? We don't have to revisit creation. It's stated clearly in the Bhagavatam. How Krishna expands as Balaram and Chaturvyuha coming all down to the Purusha avatars. How we are expansions of Krishna. Vibhinangsa. Everything is there. We don't have to, you know, come up with some new way of looking at it. It's all there, given clearly. So, when they would come to our table, a few, most of them they can see from a distance, you know, Bhagavad Gita. They don't want to stop. So the few that would come over, I would ask them, are you a professor or a student? And whatever they would say, I would ask them, are you a good one? And it's just to make them laugh, you know, because we know, Sankirtana devotees know, if you break the ice to get them to laugh, then they feel a little bit obliged to listen to you. But it's also a pointed question. Are you a good one? Are you a teacher or a cheater? You see? Because if you're supposedly teaching, you're supposed to know some subject, but you don't really know it, then you're cheating. You're cheating. The subject in religion is supposed to be God, right? God is the subject of religion, religious studies, spiritual studies. Supposed to have God in the center. But if you don't know who God is, how can you teach about God? And some of them frankly admit, there was one guy a few years back who admitted. He said, I teach religion on the university level, but he said, I'm an atheist. I don't believe in God. So at least he's honest. At least he's honest. But most of these, they're not honest. Every day they're going to some classroom to teach about God, and they don't know the first thing about God. There's a YouTube channel, one devotee, I think he calls it Sabia Monk. I just watched one episode where he filmed on the streets of London. There was one devotee, not the one who has the channel, but some other devotee, on a street corner, and there was some Muslim guy. He had set up a table, and there was some third guy who was like witnessing. So the Muslim guy, you know, called the Hare Krishna devotee over and was asking questions. Well, what do you guys believe in, and like this and that? So the devotee said, you know, Krishna is God. No, Krishna is a man. No, Krishna is a man. No, Krishna is God. God can't come into this world. According to our Quran, God does not come into this world. Why not? Why would God not come into this world? Prophet give the example that the material world is like a prison house. But just like in a regular state, there's a prison, and sometimes the president or the king may go in to examine what the prisoners are doing, what's going on there, how is the administration of the prison going on. So similarly, Krishna comes once in a day of Brahma to see what's going on here. Not that he has to come personally to see. He knows. He has his agents who report regularly, and he himself is all-pervading. So like this, the Muslim guy was trying to trap the devotee. He said, so your God comes into this world, and he's everywhere. Is he in the toilet? And the devotee said, yes. He said, that's blasphemy. But as a so-called believer in God, anybody who believes in God believes that God is all-pervading. So why is God not in the toilet? See, they don't understand that he's there, but not there. So the devotee tried to explain Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva, simultaneously one with and different from his creation. See, they don't understand these things. Very simple concepts, without which you run into this conundrum. If God is everywhere, then he must be. But how can God be in the toilet? That's blasphemy. You see, they don't understand. And they don't understand the concept that God cannot be contaminated. Prabhupada gave the example again of the sun. The sun is extracting water everywhere, including from a filthy place. But the sun does not become contaminated. Just the opposite. The sun purifies. We know you leave anything out in the sunshine, it becomes purified. So similarly, Krishna is everywhere, including, yes, the toilet. But he's not contaminated. He's not contaminated by his creation. He's not contaminated because that energy is emanating from him. Everything and is wound up again into him. But he's not touched. He's not touched even by our contaminated consciousness. What do you mean by that? At the end of the creation, and meaning at the end of Lord Brahma's life, anyone who's not yet pure devotee gets absorbed into the Mahavishnu. So I always wondered, if Mahavishnu is completely pure and we get absorbed into him at the end, why don't we become purified by being in contact by the Mahavishnu? But the answer is, he does not interfere with your minute independence. So if you, at the end of the creation, still have material desires, okay, you hang around in my existence for billions and billions of years. Then again, the whole thing comes out, and you pick up exactly where you left off. So if you were a, you know, so-called nerd chasing after all kinds of IT solutions, then okay, you get a chance to pick up exactly there and start chasing IT solutions again. If you were somebody who was hankering to be an Olympic athlete, you pick up again. If you were somebody, a snake, trying to eat some bird, you go back to that state. Whatever state you were in when the creation ended, you come back and pick up again. Krishna does not interfere. So how does our consciousness become purified? Every day we're chanting, the lotus feet of our spiritual master are the only way by which we can attain pure devotional service. Why do we want pure devotional service? Because that's what will purify our consciousness. I only desire to have my consciousness purified by the words emanating from his lotus mouth. So this is what other religious traditions are not very conscious of. That the position of leader, the position of guru, is not just a ceremonial one. It's there for the knowledge to be disseminated, for us to put into practice, and then pass on intact to others. That's all we have to do. Take that knowledge coming from the lotus mouth of Guru, act on it, act on what we've heard. Prabhupada gave us very, very clear, cogent, perfect instructions what to do on a moment-to-moment basis. Watch your consciousness. If it starts to drift, as Krishna says, chanai chanai uparamet. If your consciousness starts to drift, pull it back under the control of the self. So this is an ongoing engagement for everyone. We always have engagement. Some people are fidgeting all day long because they don't know what to do with themselves. It's with children, you know. They have so much energy, but they don't know how to employ it. So they're bouncing off the wall and they're getting to mischief. So everybody's going through that, not just the children. We all have mental energy, physical energy. If we don't consciously channel it into some Krishna conscious activity, then it will drag you away. And Krishna says, whenever the mind is wandering away, pull it back under the control of the self. Unfortunately, instead of surrendering to Krishna, just like the Kauravas, they had opportunity to surrender to Krishna, follow Krishna's instructions. But no, following their own minds, contaminated consciousness, they refused. So then the battle had to take place later on. And as Prabhupada said, because they had not even a farthing of pious credit left, they were destined to lose to the Pandavas. So we can stop here. Any questions, comments? Yes. Shri Madhava Mahotsava Prabhu.
The gist of the translation for this verse was that even though Krishna gave him a message, because they are devoid of pious credit, they were not able to accept it. And in the purport it says, like, sugar candy is sweet, but for somebody who has jaundice, it's bitter. So just thinking how, you know, like Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam are Krishna's message, and, you know, in Kali Yuga, people are devoid largely of pious credits. So if they're devoid of pious credits, then how are they going to, you know, like, what can we do to make them pious so that they can accept the message of Krishna?
Very good question. So Prabhupada was asked that once on a morning walk here in Los Angeles. When the devotee was saying, you know, Srila Prabhupada, when we go out to preach and we tell people about the principles and all that, they don't want to hear their... Prabhupada stopped. He jammed his cane. He said, why are you surprised? You're preaching to cats and dogs. He said, make them fortunate. How do you make them fortunate? Harinam. Book distribution, prasadam distribution, harinam. That's how you make them fortunate. So that's why Prabhupada wanted us to go out. When I joined, we used to go out every day. Now we only go out once or twice a week. So Friday, today, 5:30, we're going to Santa Monica. Those of you who are not otherwise engaged, please come out. This, you get unlimited credit, spiritual credit for doing that, taking that time that you could have used to do something else, to go out on the street and chant. And Prabhupada said, don't worry. It's not that you go out and chant and then like a Pied Piper, a whole line is going to fall, you know, form behind you and follow you back to the temple. Sometimes it happens, but generally it doesn't happen. But just by planting that seed of the holy name in their heart, their good fortune has begun and cannot be reversed. See, it's not like if they don't come in this lifetime, then they've lost the opportunity. No. Once that seed is planted, it will fructify, either in this life or in the next life or sometime in the future. And even those who do like this, I've said that many times. It seems funny, but it's a fact. By the time they do this, it's too late. So that's why it's so important for us to take just a little bit of our energy. Go out on the street. Try to distribute books, like some devotees go out every day to distribute books. You cannot calculate the good fortune of those people who receive that. And even at this show, most of the 99% of the attendees were not interested in Krishna consciousness. But you'd be surprised where interest comes from. There was one old lady. I say old, I'm 69. She's probably younger than me. But, you know, she was one of the workers there. She wasn't one of the, you know, professors or students who came to the show. So she came to me and she said, she was trying to pronounce Bhaktivedanta. Bhaktivedanta. She couldn't do it. So I said, okay, let's break it down. First thing is bhakti. Bhakti means the yoga of love and devotion. Connecting to God through love and devotion. Then Veda. Veda means knowledge. Anta means the end. So Bhaktivedanta signifies that the end of knowledge, the highest thing you can do is to worship Krishna, God through bhakti. Oh, she got it. And she bought it. She said, you know, my daughter is becoming a vegetarian. I should get her one of your cookbooks. So she bought it. She bought a higher taste and a great vegetarian dishes. You see? So like that, just by being out in the public, people will take advantage. Our next door exhibitor, for practically the whole time, he was not even looking our way. But then all out of the blue, he said, you know, my daughter has become vegetarian. Can I get that cookbook? You've been telling everybody this is the world's best-selling vegetarian cookbook, Higher Taste. I always tell people that. He said, can I get one? I said, come on, your daughter. Get her something better. So I upgraded him to a great vegetarian dishes. So like that, you know, just by being out in public, somewhere or other, people will take an interest. Or even if they don't take an interest, they will be benefited just by hearing the mantra, by seeing a book cover. If they open the book, read a page, or even just one word, soon they'll be living in the temple, eating subject with curd. Hare Krishna. Hare Bol. Glorious Prabhupada. Or Bhakti Vrinda Ki Jai.